Chapter 9 of 1 Samuel, please. Chapter 9. Okay, let's start. We have a tendency to think that the only good thing can come out from, only good thing can lead to the good result. That is not completely correct. In the beginning, it might look like a bad thing, but the good thing can come out from bad thing as well. Many of us heard a phrase called God works in mysterious way. Have you heard that? I only agree with a portion. We think it's he works in mysterious way from our own perspective, but he doesn't. He works in a very logical way in his own way. God will do whatever it takes to accomplish his will for according to his purpose, whether I agree with him or not. To be exact, if we know what he's going to do, we probably would not agree with him. Would you say yes? Because in our own mind, that we will come up with a better way, right? We will suggest him the many other ways to get there instead of difficult ways. Because of our ignorance and depravity of what we have, we will try to take the easy way. That's the reason why he doesn't tell us what he's going to do in our lives. It's all about the God's sovereignty. Keep that in the back of your mind, God's sovereignty. I probably will butcher her last name, but the best I can do is her last name is Rosevere. Rosevere. She is a medical missionary and in Congo uprising during the Mau Mau revolutionary invaded, and she was attacked. This pure, godly, gracious, innocent woman of God was raped, assaulted, humiliated, and hanging on her life, on her with a life to the faith that would not be shaken. While she was recovering from that horrible event, she drew closer to God. And they were having an intimate time together, more than ever before. As she wrote a statement in the form of a question, as if God is asking her this question. The question is, can you thank me for trusting you with this experience, even if I never tell you why? Do you know how deep that question is? Do you go through miserable time, you go through a difficult time, but God is telling you, I'm letting you go through this, can you thank me, even though I don't explain to you? Remember what I said, he does not owe us any explanation, but we owe him obedience. This evening we are going to meet one of the main characters in this book, 1 Samuel. His name is Saul. He's coming into the picture. He's a type of guy that all the Israelis want as their king. We'll start at the verse 1, please. And let's stop and pray. Father, in our simple mind, in our depraved mind, we want everything easy way, our way, but we know you know all things. You do all things according to your will, for our own benefit. We thank you for ignoring our request, our pleas, and doing everything according to your perfect will. We cannot say thank you while we are going through that difficult time. And a lot of times in retrospect, then we will realize that you're doing everything right. Give us perspective that as close as yours, that we may see the things the way you would see. Teach us through tonight's study, that we may learn your ways, learn your perspective. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 9, please. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, and the son of Jeror, the son of Bechro. I'm butchering all these guys' names, so I'll just say that guy. the son of a dead man, and the son of whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Then the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, "Please take one of the servants with you and arise, go and look for the donkeys." So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of that place, but they did not find him. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there. Then he passed through the land of Benjamin. They did not find them. Verse 5. When they had come to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father sees caring about the donkeys become worried about us." And he said to him, "Look now, there is in this city a man of God. He is an honorable man. All that he says surely come to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go." Then Saul said to his servant, "But look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?" And the servant answered Saul again and said, "Look, I have here at hand of 1/4 of the shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way." Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, "Come, let us go to the seer." For he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. As they went up the hills to the city, they met some young women going out to draw water, and said to them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered them, said, "Yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to this city because because there is a sacrifice of the people today on the high place." Note that place, the high place. Verse 13. "As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up, for about this time you will find him." Stop there, please. All right. Give me your interpretation of this, what we just read. Anyone? Roger? Okay, that's someone observation. You studied well as an interpretation. You sidetracked to the observation. Okay, give me what it means. What it means, not what it says. Remember, go back to what you said originally. Good. 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 Who else? Yes. Okay. That's also observation, but how about this? God accomplished his way with the seemingly natural things. Okay? Donkeys got lost. Stubborn donkeys went their ways, and to look for those donkeys, God used donkeys to lead this man to get to the point where this Samuel was a circuit judge. Remember? He was going around and happened to be in that city. God was leading Saul to meet Samuel. In other words, God can use any situation to accomplish his will. Saul, obviously, that was both of you did a good job. Saul obviously came from a prestigious family. And how do I know? Because the verse 1 said, he had the donkeys. Okay, that's good. But more than that, at the end of verse 1, it said the mighty man of power. During that time, anyone who had the power usually had a lot of moolah. And he was born to wealth and influence, as the verse 1 explained. If being a king over Israel was about the, all about image and appearance, Saul was the man. In the previous chapter, people of Israel, what did they do? What did they request in chapter 8? They want a king, human king. They don't want God as their king. Why? Why? To be like neighbors. Yeah. He was the king from the, if you will, this guy is a good looking head and shoulder. He's a tall and dark and handsome. All the ladies would say, ooh and ah about that kind of thing. I happen to have his picture. Do you know that? Saul's picture. There. He's a tall and dark and handsome. He's from the Central Casting Agency. He has a family background. He has a stature. He has a look at wealth and influence. What could you ask for more, right? He is the people's choice of Israel to be a king. The name Saul means ask of God. Good name. I'm sure the mother of Saul of Tarsus, mother and father named him Saul. He wanted to be the like a first king. Israel was asking for a king, and Saul would indeed be the one ask of God. What is not mentioned in the verse, in these two verses, verse 1 and verse 2 of this chapter at the beginning, is God. Paul and Saul came from the wealthy, influential family. He was a good looking, but there's nothing said about his relationship with the God, Lord God of Israel. Unlike the King David, his explanation was that he was a shepherd and he sang song to God. His personal relationship. There's nothing said because there's nothing to say about his relationship with God. So a king to be was led to the throne by the donkeys. We have no idea how God will use a seemingly normal, natural, even annoying circumstance of life. Do you have an annoying situation right now? Or a difficult situation right now? Know that God is going to use that situation to fulfill His purpose. Yes, sir? Yeah. Somehow God made His father to go find the donkey instead of just, like you said, one of the many servants. There are two, yes, sir? Yeah. Of course, he had to carry things. Saul would not carry a thing. Yeah. There are two mistakes people make regarding the God's guidance through the circumstance. Number one, some people read this too much, read into things too much. The first mistake is that to think every event of our lives is heavy with a meaning from God. Some people read into too many things. They read meaning between the line too much. You with me? And something goes wrong, and they think that the demons are behind the door and behind the bush. Not necessarily. This is wrong. So because though nothing happened by accident, not everything happens for a good purpose. Second mistake people make. Can I change the slide? Yes, no? Say when? Okay. You good? The second mistake is to ignore the moving of God in our lives through circumstances. You cannot completely ignore the circumstances or always think that circumstance makes a difference. As God wanted to use this situation to guide Saul, God often uses circumstances in our lives the same way. We need to trust God's goodness and His ability to make all things work together for good. So those donkeys could have gone anywhere, but they were exactly where they're supposed to be according to God's way. And Saul went to seek his father's donkey, but he didn't find them, but he found a crown to be a king, if you will. Listen, our Lord God has a plan for everything, and He gets His will accomplished no matter what we do, as I said before. And His plan is always best for us. Our Lord generally allows the natural waves to take a course, so that we hardly notice that it has anything to do with our Lord and His power. The things happen in our lives, such as a delay, illness, financial difficulties, and limitations, wish doesn't come true, etc. These things irritate us because they are part of His plan that we don't understand. Let me rephrase that. We don't want to understand. We can sometimes see that in retrospect, but it is hard to understand at that time. How many of you guys can look back and say, oh, that's what he did? I think I mentioned it to you. I was looking for opportunity to climb up the corporate ladder. If I got that job, I would not be in number one. I would not be in the marriage because I would be gone all the time. And number two, I would never be a pastor because if I was going after that particular job, probably my job would be the, my God. How many guys, how many ladies, their job is their literally God? As a children of God, we must remember that He is leading us, even in the mundane event of life. Don't be annoyed or irritated, that He really knows what He's doing. Any of you get irritated by things easily? I have advice for you. Take a chill pill. Okay? God will work it out. Trust Him and take a chill pill. Relax. Remember what the Lord said? You cannot increase your height. I'm paraphrasing. Do not worry for tomorrow. Words between the Saul and his servant is a compliment to the king, prophet Samuel. What a contrast to Saul. See, the Samuel's reputation was well known as man of God. What do people think about you and me? If they have a situation, difficult situation, would they come to you for advice? Or would they say, yeah, that person talks about God, but his life is not, he doesn't walk the walk, talk the talk. You know what I'm saying? Does your life support what you say or what you believe? If not, you don't have a good reputation as a Christian. When a consultant, we read a portion, do we have anything to give it to the seer? That was the part of the custom. When they went to the seer, the prophet, they had to take something, whether it's fancy or not fancy. It's rather interesting. I noticed something interesting. This young woman whom they met on the way up to the hill, and they took time to explain to this man whom they've never met. Why not? He's a good looking, right? So they took time. If I ask the same question, they'll say, either ignore me or don't even bother to, or point a finger at some hill and say, over there. Somehow I noticed when a person is good looking, they get away with a lot of things. Okay, back to the story. Another interesting thing. Let's go back to the verse 13. As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Did you notice that? Do you know this is the first place ever mentioned about the blessing before the meal in the Bible? This is the custom they started. I'm not saying it's the beginning of the custom. I'm saying it's the first place ever mentioned in the Bible about the blessing before the meal. And guess who kept this custom? Jesus. Remember before he took the bread? What did he do? He blessed. I'm sure all of you will do that, even in the public place. You might be starving to death before you dive into that food. Thank God for the provision He provides for you. And you might say, well, everybody's, if I pray, everybody's going to see me. So what? Pray. Just don't be obnoxious. Pray aloud. You don't need to bring attention to yourself. Just pray quietly. Thank you, Lord, for the food. That's it. A high place. A high place was the elevated site of the worship located on a hill or on an artificial platform in a temple. Canaanites were known for the building of their place of worship on hills. Nevertheless, pious Israelites appear to have used such facilities legitimately after the construction and destruction of Shiloh by the Philistines and before the construction of Solomon's temple. Sadly, the misuse of this such high places to worship false god eventually undermined the worship of God and contribute to the rise of the idolatry in Israel. Throughout the First King and Second King, First and Second Chronicles, you see good godly kings of Judah destroy high places because those high places were filled with idolatry, like a pole for the Ashtoreth or the idol for the Ashtoreth or what's the other name? Babel? No, not Babel. Baal. Yeah. Many other foreign gods. All right, go down to verse 14, please. So they went up to the city. As they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming out toward them on his way to the high place. Now the Lord said, Lord had told Samuel in his ear, note that please, Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander, note that please, commander over my people, Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man whom I spoke to you. This shall reign over my people. Then the Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, please tell me, where is the seer's house? And Samuel answered, Saul said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house? And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite, the smallest tribe of Israel, and my family the least of all families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me? Stop there, please. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Aline?
Very good.
Who else? What else do you see? Okay, that's the observation. He was chosen by God? In a way, yes. Come. What do you see? What do you see? Let me point to you. Okay, go to the verse 16. Let's read that portion again. Tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. You shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, and he may save my people from the hand of the Philistine, for I have looked upon my people because their cry has come upon me. What can you get out of that? What did they do in the previous chapter? They rejected God. What does God do here? He still loves them. He still is willing to save them. Even though people reject God, God still loves people. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. People still while we're still sinner, he loved us, right? Because Saul has been whispering, remember what Arlene said? He could hear God, he could speak to God in prayer, and he could hear from God. Because Samuel has been whispering in God's ear through prayer regularly, he could hear God speaking to his ear in return. And people say, well, I don't hear from God. Do you talk to God regularly? Do you read the Word of God regularly? People think that God would speak to them with a booming voice. He doesn't. Normally he doesn't. Unless you have a special relationship, like he's going to yell at you. Yes. I'll be found by you. Yep. Isaiah 55. Meanwhile, the Lord revealed to Samuel that Saul was on his way, that he was the people's choice for king. This does not mean that Saul satisfied God's ultimate requirement. That's when Mikey said he was chosen by God, that's why I said, somewhat. But only the Lord graciously letting people to have their own way for now. What a comparison of God, a compassion of God toward the very people who rejected him as their leader, yet still, he still loves them and still cares for them. Remember, what was the kind of nickname of King David? Yes, man after God's own heart. What about Saul? Had nothing to do with God's heart. It seems significant that Saul was referred as commander. Remember? We read, I tried to emphasize that portion in verse 16. You shall anoint him commander over my people. God didn't say king, because king is designated for King David. In other words, the commander, that means that he's the chief of the leader, not the king. Royal throne is ultimately designated for the tribe of Judah and King David, and through him, Jesus Christ. However, Saul was used by God to defeat the Philistines in chapter 11. All right, here's the thing. In God's sovereign knowledge, God prepared Saul's father's donkeys to lead Saul and his servant to come to the town where Samuel happened to be there. In his infinite wisdom, God instructed Samuel whom he was supposed to meet there. Everything is a sovereign knowledge and wisdom of God. If Kish, Saul's father, if he had a way, would he lose his donkey? Come on, answer me. Let me ask you another question again. If Kish had a choice, would he lose those donkeys? If Kish has a choice, would he like to send his Saul and servant out to look for donkeys? For 3 days, Saul and his servant looking for donkeys. I mean, this donkey has 4 legs. They could go anywhere, right? And trying to find the needle in the haystack all over. But because of that, even though they had no idea where they're supposed to go, God lead them to this particular city where Samuel is supposed to be there. Saul started with a genuine humbleness. As soon as he became a king, that pretty much went out the window. Go to verse 22, please. Now the Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and had them sit in the place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it apart. Verse 24. So the cook took it up the thigh, note that word, the thigh, with the upper part, its upper part, and set it before Saul. Samuel said, here it is. What was kept back? It was set apart for you. Eat, for until this time it has been kept for you, since I said I invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day, and Samuel called Saul on the top of the house, saying, "Get up, that I may send you on your way." And Saul arose. Both of them went outside, he and Samuel. And they were going down to the outskirts of the city. Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant go on ahead of us." And he went on. "But you stand here a while, that I may announce to you the word of God." Stop there. We're going to come back to verse 27 next week. So, all right, what do you see here? Okay, in this case, here I'm going to ask you to come up with an observation, not an interpretation, because there's not a whole lot of things to interpret. Yes? Mm-hmm. You mean Samuel was listening to God? Samuel was listening. Yeah. Good. All right. Who else? Roger? No? Wayne? Not yet. But giving him enough acknowledgement in front of everybody by giving him, putting him, yes. Go back to verse 22, please. Yep. What would be the fancy word for the set apart? Sanctification. Yes, Roger. Good. Good. Notice the two things. The thigh as well as the seat of honor, place of honor. Remember the time, the last meal, last supper with Jesus. Where did Judas sit? On his left? Protocol of the sitting during the time is very important. Host sit either his right or left reserved for the seat of honor. To the last moment, Jesus was giving opportunity to Judas to repent, even though he knew he would not. He was appealing to his heart. Here, Samuel said, of course, he's the main guy, and Saul was sitting next to him, the place of honor. All right. What about thigh? King James Version. How many of you guys have a King James Version? You do? Okay. King James Version, what do you see as a thigh? You have a King James and it says thigh? Oh, okay. Maybe I was looking at the different New King James, that's why. If you have a King James, it would say shoulder. I didn't touch a thing. Oh. Okay. King James Version says shoulder, and while the other version says a leg or a thigh. And the original Hebrew word for this one is shokul. And the main point of this meat is that the choice portion of the animal with a lot of meat, and also it represents the power. And why is that the shoulder, that is a tremendous difference between shoulder and thigh? I don't know. I'm guessing that when it's an animal, his shoulder area is the hind leg or the front leg. I don't think it makes the difference. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I cannot tell you that portion. The point is that there are a lot of meat. And also it means the power. I'm sure that Samuel thought of Saul about when they were alone on the housetop. I'm sure that he was teaching them what to do as a king. And why he should do that kind of thing. All right, let's make an application. All right, before we go, don't look at my applications. Give me your applications, please. Anyone? This time, application means, what does this portion mean to you? Not what does it mean. Not observation. What does it mean to you? Anyone? Okay, make it into application. Okay. Okay. Good. Pop. Good. Another thing that, remember, don't be annoyed. Don't be irritated by the things that delay you and slow you down. Yeah? All right. Here's my applications. The sovereignty of God carries the meager plan of our lives for His great purpose. Man plans, but God guides the steps, right? Saul had no idea he was being guided by God, but he ended up in the city. Same is true for our lives. In the sovereignty of God, He has a plan and purpose for us and right where we are. And we should submit to God and get in with His plan. Second application. It's important for us to learn that the smallest thing in our lives are as much arranged by God of the providence as the most startling event. Let me make a different example. At the beginning of my Christian walk, I was a graphic designer and self-employed. Sometimes I drop things while I'm drawing, designing things. Sometimes I drop this eraser, and of course under my desk is not bright. I could not find my eraser, and in my simple faith in God, I asked God, find me that eraser. Do you know He did? He did. It enhanced my faith in Him. Instead of crawling all over the looking for that little tiny eraser, I just simply asked God, help me to find this eraser. And He did. There were many times I did not understand Bible. And I read the Bible and I was consuming the Bible each day. And I asked the Lord, I don't get it. And literally, there were times, soon as I said that, I listened to the Family Life radio program. And there is a one Wiersbe explaining that particular portion. It's unreal. And Chuck Swindoll is explaining. John McAuliffe explaining. It's like the Lord bring all these big wig guys, Bible teachers to me, and He's telling me, giving me the explanation of the questions that I have. Don't ever think that God is too big to handle your small affair. Okay? Yes, sir. Yeah? Third application. No matter how we try to manipulate our God or force Him to do something we want, God already knew what we are going to say or do to Him before the creation of the universe. In other words, you will never outfox God. Okay? Or pull wool over His eyes. They ain't big enough wool to pull over Him. Okay, let's go back to the Helen Roosevelt, that British medical missionary, as I mentioned before. Let me ask you the same question again. Can you thank me for trusting you with this experience, even if I never tell you why? Let it sink in your heart. Sometimes we go through a difficult time. Sometimes irritating things happen. Remember what I said. God does not owe us explanation, but we owe Him obedience. Total obedience. Amen? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. So easy to forget that who the Master is between You and us. We often compete with You, trying to get onto the throne of our hearts. Remind us we are Your servant. We are Your children. Remind us that You doing everything according to Your providence and arranging things such a way that You alone receive glory and for our own benefit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.